You are listening to Radio Aryan.
Welcome to SS Britannia. Today's date is Monday, the 6th of November, 2017. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, and I'm joined by the one and only Brutus of Troy today, as usual. Brutus, how are you doing today?
I'm okay, mate, and it is okay to be white.
It certainly is. It certainly is okay to be white, and this is a fantastic advertising campaign for us. I think I'm just amazed that nobody thought of this before. Anybody that complains about saying it's okay to be white, they just look absolutely ridiculous. They look like the worst racists of all. I mean, do these leftists know what they look like when they condemn this? It's brilliant. It's so far it's just been taken off in America. I mean, it's been so successful that Milo and Mike Cernovich have hijacked it, selling t-shirts, trying to make money from it. These people that attack us all the time and attack pro-white people, now that they've seen they can make some money off it, they're supporting it. A Jew and a transvestite. I believe Mike Cernovich is some kind of closet transvestite fetishist from some of things I've
Cernovich
seen.
Cernovich is a Jew. He's a Jew.
He's a Jew as well. He looks like a monkey.
No, he absolutely is. I mean, I actually brought his book, embarrassingly enough, back in, 2015, when I was in the process of getting red pills and I was reading Manosphere stuff. I brought his book, what's it called? Guerrilla Mindset. I brought the ebook. Short little things, like 50 pages, you know what I mean? You pay like 10 quid and you get like a 50 page.
Typical.
Yeah. Typical. But I remember looking into it and I typed in Mike Cernovich Jew and this Twitter tweet came up, and he was blabbing on about how he's proud of being Jewish because Jewish people are conquerors and all that kind of thing. And then, in the great meme war of 2016, when people were asking the question, that tweet had been deleted. But I remember it quite clearly. He said he's Jewish. So, you're right. You've got two Jews making some money out of a brilliant propaganda campaign that has been created by 4chan. God bless 4chan.
Definitely, they do a lot of good work. 4chan do. Mike Cernovich is also a favourite of Boatsink, who does the artwork for us. Perhaps he might be able to do one with Mike Cernovich and Milo for today's episode. I know he's done them before. I think he had them both in a bath or something. And I do like his artwork. He's very funny. Hopefully, we'll see some of this. It's okay to be white over here in Britain. I mean, that would be really good, seeing Amber Rudd condemning that.
I don't think it's okay to be white in Britain.
Not any longer. Well, it's not okay in America, is it?
No, it's not okay in America either. No.
It's not okay to be male in Britain. That's what's going on at the moment. This witch hunt, total witch hunt of men in Parliament. All the women are ganging up on them. Doesn't matter if they're from Labour or from Conservative or what they are. And they're saying, well, we're all women together and we're standing together and speaking for all women on this, which makes it clear that they're not there as representatives of the people. They're just there as representatives of women. Male politicians represent men and women, but female politicians just represent all women. And they're saying that touching a woman's leg 15 years ago is a sacking offence. Chatting up your secretary is a sackable offence. And they're saying that all men are like Harvey Weinstein, basically, which I find really infuriating. They keep saying, look at this behaviour of the men in Hollywood, and they're all Jewish. It's Jewish behaviour. And yet all men are being tarred with it. And these politicians, I mean, all they're doing is chatting up their secretary. How else are they supposed to let a woman know that they're interested if not by giving them some flattering comments? I mean, that's all they've done is flatter these young girls. And the girls have admitted that they were flattered at the time, but now 10, 15 years later, they're saying, oh, he was a pervert for saying that. and they're trying to get money from it. Julia Hartley Brewer, I mean, this, he's probably about the same age as her. I think he put his hand on her knee or something. Older women put their hand on my knee. But people just do that sometimes. You ever had people put their hand on your knee, Brutus, when they're talking to you?
I had an old granny the other day ask me to give her a kiss.
Did you report her to the police?
I should have done, shouldn't I? But, you know, then again, I'm just a fucking white guy, so I guess I wouldn't have got anybody, would I?
A fucking white male.
Yeah.
An endangered species, the most hated species on the planet. I just, yeah. You know, it just really, really infuriates me because, you know, I watch the news a lot, and they keep interviewing these actresses and journalists and women basically just slurring all men and attacking all men. And I don't quite know how we are supposed to respond to this. I mean, what they've done is they've basically done away with marriage. They've come out with no-fault divorce and people can't get married anymore. So basically, you've just got a free-for-all out there. You grab as many women as you can, and the women grab as many men as they can. But if you can't actually say let a woman know that you're interested, then how are the women going to know that a man is interested? How are they even going to find a boyfriend? And men are going to be too frightened to say anything, and then the women are going to get even more frustrated, and they're going to be even more angry and annoyed and hysterical. You know, it's all heading in the direction that I know that these feminists really don't want it to go in, but that's the direction it's going to go in if they keep behaving the way that they are now, blaming everyone for this.
Yeah, it's a funny old thing, this Weinstein thing, and obviously has been the subject of debate for the last month or so. And it does seem like a kind of a difficult issue to deal with, because on the one hand, it's kind of like, yeah, it's disgusting that this, you know, that you have the whole casting couch culture in Hollywood. But then on the other hand, it's like these people didn't really do anything wrong. I mean, it's just... you know, these actresses, they could have just walked out if they don't like it. You know what I mean? So it is a tricky thing. I'm going to have to come down on the side of the feminists on this one. And, basically I'm just going to have to go supreme white knight, and I'm going to say that they're right, but they're not right in the way that they think that they're right. They're just right. I think that, modern society and the society of, you know, the post-sexual revolution society that we live in is an incredibly misogynistic society. It's a society where young girls are essentially not protected by their fathers, and they're encouraged to give their virginity away to some random guy, and they're not properly looked after, and they are sexually objectified. And this is what feminists complain about. Now, of course, the feminists themselves are hypocritical in their complaint, because the feminists say that they want to act like sluts, but at the same time be treated like, respectable women. So they are hypocritical. I'm fully aware of that. But at the same time, I think this complaint is probably coming from a very deep, you know, subconscious part of women's mind, female consciousness, where they're just realizing that, you know, they're not protected anymore. They don't have husbands that look after them. They're not getting married. They don't have this firm family structure, and they're on the sexual marketplace, and they're being passed around by men. And don't get me wrong. I mean, if anybody's listening to this and they're new to the show, I mean, I am very, very aware of how the system is slanted in favor of women. The court system is slanted in favor of women. You have affirmative action for women. The schools are slanted in favor of women. I'm very, very aware of this. But at the same time, you know, like I said, in the last show, you know, as white nationalists and as men, we can't be proud about our past accomplishments without also being ashamed of our past failures. And the fact of the matter is that our ancestors, our fathers and our grandfathers failed to stop this feminist thing from happening. And they failed to protect the women, and they gave women the vote, and they said, oh, yeah, you can go and get a job. Yeah, you can go to university, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And they've put women in the position that they are in today, which has ended up, you know, creating a system where women are sexually objectified, and they are sluts. The, you know, we've turned them into sluts, basically. Men have created a culture which turns women into sluts, and women don't want to be sluts. They want to be loved. So, yeah, I'm going to have to go full white knight and just say, yeah, they're right.
I think some of them want to be sluts, but only with certain men, rich men. This is what I don't understand. I mean, everybody's heard of the casting couch in Hollywood, and these women, these actresses, they look at themselves, they think, well, I'm really good looking. Men find me attractive. I could have a career in Hollywood. So they're basically selling their looks anyway. They're selling what they look like. So they are happy to be objectified. And then they go to Hollywood, and the rich movie producer says, yeah, I'll put you in a film, but you have to sleep with me first. And they do. And that's just gone on for decades. I don't understand why it's such a shock now. Now, what it is it's got to the state where women are now so empowered, and they've got so much control over society that they can then pick and choose who they want to punish for this now. You know, I mean, if it's a rich, good looking film director and they sleep with him, some of them end up getting married to the film producer. Look at the one that ended up marrying Harvey Weinstein. I mean, she was what, 30 years his junior. She was quite happy to marry him. She was quite happy to be on the casting couch and marry the guy. I mean, the one thing that I do question about this Harvey Weinstein thing I've said this before, is that we're looking at him as if he was a white man, and so we doubt the fact that these were actually rapes. I mean, the guy is absolutely loaded. He could put anyone into a film. So, you know, my bet would be that most women would sleep with him. He wouldn't have to rape them. They would willingly sleep with him. The same as when Donald Trump was saying, if you've got lots of money, then, you know, you can just grab them by the pussy and they're quite happy. And of course, there was all this uproar over that. And basically, he was just basically stating a fact that women don't really like men to know that if you have got lots of money, then women are going to throw themselves at you, because women can't do the things for themselves. They can't defend themselves. They have a third less body strength than we do, and they're at risk. So they're always at risk of violence. So they want to have the least violent situation, and they want to be the most protected and have the most material things. It's an evolutionary thing. So they're going to go with the person who has the most money and therefore has the most ability to protect them and defend them from the dangers in society. Now, this is why they pick the sort of men that, you know, you would think, well, why did they go with that guy? I mean, he's a real thug. But the point is that he is a real thug. He will prevent that girl from being attacked by anyone else. So you've got a basic primal urge there, and it comes out in the 21st century with women going with the people with the most money, people like Harvey Weinstein, who are incredibly ugly, he's a horrible, fat, ugly Jew, but he's absolutely loaded. So these women go with him. But they want their cake, and they want to eat it too, because now they want to complain that horrible, ugly men with lots of money come onto them. And years ago. And then they end up losing these politicians their jobs, and all men get blamed for it, and all men get looked at as if we're sex pests, whereas all they were doing is just chatting these girls up and seeing whether they could get their end away with them. I mean, that's all it comes down to, is the women flirt with the men, and the men have got so much more testosterone that they trying to get in with the women all the time. And that's the way things go, because that's the whole point of life is to produce children. So it's a really strong drive in the men to have sex, and the women know that that's their most precious commodity. So they constantly want to up the value of this precious commodity. So they withhold it, and they withhold it until somebody comes along who's prepared to pay the most for it. And this game between the two sexes is going on there in the background at just about every interaction that men and women have together, I think.
Mm. Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. I mean, that's Hollywood culture. It's a culture of prostitution. And I don't think Harvey Weinstein did rape any of those girls. There's probably not that much raping going on in Hollywood, to be perfectly honest with you. Probably most of it is just, it's easy to get hold of if you're a powerful, man within Hollywood, and you can get someone, you can get a girl, a part in a film, then she's going to have sex with you. So, I don't think it is rape. And, women definitely have that, hypergamy, and they're incredibly attracted to powerful men. It's the number one aphrodisiac. Women are attracted to power and men are attracted to youth. That's the way the game works. So, I completely agree with you on that point. I mean, the point I'm trying to say is that, what kind of message do we want to give to these women? Do we want to say to these women, stop complaining about it and just let men grope you and treat you and objectify you as sex objects? Or do we want to say to women, yes, you're right, we have created an incredibly degenerate, slutty culture. And if you want this world to be different, or if you want this world to be different for your daughters, then we have to go back to the traditional family unit. And if we're going to put that message out there, then we have to recognize that we have created a misogynistic society. We've created a society where women are used as sex objects and passed around as prostitutes. And we have to acknowledge it. And in that way, we can get women on our side.
That's how they wanted it. That's how they wanted it. They wanted it to have lots of partners and not have to settle down with one man all their life. And if you're going to have lots of different partners, then you have to interact with these people. You have to expect to be propositioned by somebody that you didn't want to be propositioned by. But at the same time, there's lots of girls that find it very flattering. If they're walking past a building site or whatever and they get whistled at. They find that very flattering. But then you've got another group of women that will say, oh, that's terrible. How sexist that is. That's objectifying women. And then you've got another group saying, well, you should be doing that to the fat girls. You should be doing that to the ugly girls. Beauty's all relevant.
Yeah. I think, if you look at children, little girls, they generally are quite romantic and they generally... they want the prince in shining armor, the knight in shining armor. They don't have slutty fantasies about lots of men chasing after them. That's kind of put into them at a later date. So I would like to see that childhood innocence preserved, and I would like to see women getting married as virgins. And I saw there's a statistic. If a woman gets married as a virgin, it's like a 95% chance of the marriage surviving. I mean, it's a very low chance of failure for the marriage. And that's the kind of culture I'd like to create, basically. My opinion is that there is always going to be a prostitute class within society. There is always going to be a 5% of women, or maybe even a 10%, I don't know, that want to sell their bodies for sex. And obviously there's always going to be men who are willing to pay for that. And I've heard it said that, you can have Prabhupada said this actually when he talked about prostitution. He said, you can either have, 10% of the women are prostitutes and 90% are chaste, or you can try to make all women chaste and have no prostitutes, but then what happens is, people end up sleeping with each other's wives, you see. So he very much viewed prostitution as a an escape valve, as a way to let off steam from the pressure cooker, so to speak. So I do think that rich, powerful men, if you're a rich, powerful man, you're gonna pay for sex. I mean, most of these big businessmen pay for sex. It's really not I very much doubt it's a big deal at all in the elite circles. So, I think the prostitute class is always going to be there. Hollywood is a sophisticated form of the prostitute class. But what we want for the general mass of women is to have them, you know, is to keep them chaste and to get them married at a young age. And I was thinking about this the other day, where, you know, this is really one of the issues of the day. You know, when Hitler had his revolution, it was very much a case of economic issues. You know, it was very much about communism and poverty and things like this. That is not really the issue of the day for young men these days. For young men these days, what the main issue is probably incel rage. It's involuntary celibacy, because young men can't get laid. And in the 60s, you know, when you started having this free love girlfriend and boyfriend thing, it was great for the baby boomers, because they had a whole generation of women who grew up with two parents, and they were feminine, they had long hair, they were thin, and they had some, you know, culture. They knew how to act and look after their men. And so it was great. But a few decades down the line, female hypergamy has kicked in, and now you have the 20-80 rule. And now, you know, the top 20% of men, they get all the girls. And younger millennial men, they can't even get laid. I mean, it wasn't like this. I'm a Gen Xer. When I was young, people could still get laid. But I talked to some guys in their early 20s. They can't even get laid. You know, you go to the nightclubs these days, it's like the jock type, handsome guy. He gets the girls, and he gets all the girls, right? And then if you're just an average guy, you don't get nothing. You don't get nothing. I know a guy, he's 24 years old. He's an okay guy. He's never had a girlfriend, right? So this is the issue which is facing younger men today. And I think we need to offer, to get these men on our side, we need to offer them a sexual utopia. This is what the Jews offered the men in the 60s. It was all like peace and love, man, make love, not war. They offered the hippies, they offered them a sexual utopia, and that brought them over to the left wing. So we need to do the same. We need to offer them a sexual utopia. We need to say, yeah, you join our movement, we'll get you a wife. And at the same time, we'll legalize prostitution. And if, you know, you want to do some crazy stuff, then do it with a prostitute. You get the best of both worlds. And, yeah, I don't know. That's my opinion on that.
Well, I'm not sure about the legalized prostitution bit of it. I mean, maybe that goes back to thousands of years ago. There was a temple prostitute, wasn't there? These women at the temples would have sex with whoever came into the temple, basically, in the Middle East. I think that's where the word whore comes from, hierophant, or something like that, which was these temple whores. I mean, I think the problem today is we know what's right is the chaste woman and the marriage when you're a virgin, and you're right there that 95% of marriages that haven't slept with one another, the marriage lasts. But the problem is the majority of people today, they're not virgins. You can't go back to that. But I think just knowing what the actual ideal is and not ridiculing it and not scorning it is a big help. Realizing that maybe sleeping with lots of people is not the right way to go about things. And holding virginity and chastity and voluntary celibacy and holding that in high regard and as something which is a good thing and something to be ennobled and rewarded in society, that's a good idea in itself, I think. Just understanding that is a big help. And I think that would probably be a big help for young people as well. Because at the moment, I mean, I remember when I was at school and, you know, it was all about losing it as soon as you possibly could. You know, I can't recall anybody that was talking about saving themselves for anyone. They saved themselves for the right boyfriend, but certainly not saved themselves for marriage. You know, that was unheard of.
Unless you're a Christian.
Well, yeah, there was that as well, the evangelical Christian side. And I mean, that is one good point about the modern day establishment church. There are still people in the churches that are virgins when they get married, and their marriage stays together. That is one thing that I can't, you know, you can't criticize the church for. They do still encourage that, or at least they did, you know, 20 years ago. I would hope that they still do today. I mean, I can remember them having I think they had bracelets or something, and people would wear these bracelets saying that they were saving themselves for their husband or saving themselves for their wife. It was a big American thing. I think it's still quite big over there.
I remember a couple of them going on Jerry Springer. Do you remember that Jew, Jerry Springer?
Oh.
I remember he used to bring a couple of them on. And but they do every, they do oral sex. It's just, I don't know what the flipping difference is. I mean, just because you don't stick it in the hole, you know, if you're sucking your boyfriend's knob, I don't know. Are you still a virgin? Well, you know.
But, that's a question. I mean, I got asked that a while back because that used to be considered as sodomy. But the point is that at least that's going in the right end. It's not going in the wrong end.
That used to be considered sodomy?
Apparently, yeah. But it's going. At least it's going. Do you know what I mean? It's not. It's not desecrating. It's not desecrating it like it is. At the wrong end. At least it's going in the right end. I don't see that there's a problem with that. But
well, the mouth's
yeah.
not really the right end, is it, Sven?
Well, things go into the mouth, don't they? They're not supposed to come out.
All right.
That's what I mean.
No, I mean, yeah, no, it is a perversion, in my opinion. It is a perversion. Oral sex is a perversion because you're perverting the course of the semen. The semen is supposed to go into the vagina and into the girl's womb so she gets pregnant. It's not supposed to go in her mouth or on her face or wherever, or on her tits. But so, yeah, it is. It's a perversion. It is. But obviously, it's, yeah, I agree. It's better than sodomy because at least you don't get so many diseases. I think it's really an American thing, though, isn't it? That's been brought over here. I don't think it ever used to be a British habit. I think the Americans brought it over, probably because they're all circumcised or something. I don't know. Anyway,
well, the sodomy thing that came about with the pornography.
Yeah,
that's what encouraged that.
Yeah, I tell you what drives me. It's a male thing as well. Now I know guys. They talk about this, like, oh yeah, I'm going to fuck her up the ass. It's like, well, what? Jesus Christ, why do you want to do that for? She's got a vagina. I mean, what do you want to stick it up her bum for?
Yeah, you know, I remember somebody that used to go on like that all the time, and he was a porn addict, and he used to talk about it all the time. And I just used to find it absolutely revolting. The thought of it revolting. Why would anybody want to do that? But it comes from watching pornography. But we're supposed to be prudes in Britain. And I remember I read a book, Are We a Declining Race? And that was written, I think, around about the beginning of the 20th century, maybe the late 19th. And in that, he was saying that even masturbation was unheard of in Britain. It was a new thing in that last century. And he was terrified that it was going to cause a weakening of the race. And he was right. And he was saying that it was because we didn't have that, and we did used to remain celibate. That's what, you know, encouraged us to go out and have the British Empire and to go out and conquer America and colonize America. That's why Britain was so strong in the world, is because we were prudish by the rest of the world's standards. And the masturbation, it hadn't actually made its way across from the continent to Britain until a century ago. So we've gone from, you know, this remaining chaste until we get married to suddenly going from masturbation to sodomy with the wife, with the girlfriend or whatever, in the space of a century, is degenerated to that. And today we're looking at Islam, and we've got this mullah saying that it's perfectly fine to have sex with your daughter if it's from an illegitimate relationship. And then at the bottom of the article, it's got a mullah saying, oh, it's perfectly fine to marry off newborn babies. That's where this sickness comes from. It comes from mixing with these other races, with these degenerate other races, mongrel races, and their sex magic that they all get involved in. That you can read it in the Old Testament. That's where all the corruption came from, was mixing with these other races. If you read the myth of the 20th century, you know, Alfred Rosenberg, that's where all this perversion and degeneracy came from. It came from mixing with these other races. And today we've got it there, Islam, with this mullah saying it's perfectly fine to have sex with your daughter and it's perfectly fine to marry off newborn babies. And these ideas don't come naturally to the white man. It's like this craze for sodomy. That comes about from pornography. And where does pornography come from? Comes from Jewry. Comes from these Jews and the perverted ideas that they have, as exemplified by Harvey Weinstein and what he gets up to.
Yeah, the more I learn about Islam, the more it just sounds like the Talmud. It just sounds like the same thing. It's just I mean, I always find it interesting that Muhammad, he left Mecca and he went to Media, and a lot of the Quran was written in Media. Media was obviously a big Jewish, trading post. Anyway, it does feel so Jewish, but you're right. It's Islam is incredibly dysgenic in that way, and it's sexually perverted. And you only have to look at Iran. I mean, Iran obviously means Aryan, and it used to be a white nation of people. The Persians were essentially white or white-ish, at least. And now they're all just the mixed with Negro blood, and they're just they've been destroyed because of, you know, 1,000 years of just this weird Islamic sexual practices of having sex with your daughter or your cousin or your baby or whatever, or having, especially the having sex with the slaves. And then obviously they get the slaves in from Africa, and then boom, that's it. Your whole nation goes down the pan and turns brown. So yeah, Islam is a very dangerous system of thought.
And this is why they have so many congenital defects, especially Pakistanis and Muslims, from the cousin marriage, the consanguineous marriage, and marrying people that are very close to them genetically, and they end up with lots of mongs and spastics, and then the National Health Service has to pay for it all. Yeah. Huge amounts of money go on keeping these basically degenerates. And it's about 1 in 4, I think, that's born with some kind of defect. And that comes from these Islamic laws. And, you know, it is the same as the Talmud. The Talmud says that it's okay for them to have sex with 3-year-olds because it's not a grown woman. So, and it's only sex with a grown woman and an adult that's wrong outside of marriage. You know, that's the sort of logic that you come across in the Talmud. And the Quran, it just encourages the same. And the Orthodox women in Jewry, they wear the bags over their heads as well. And you got very, very similar customs between the two of them. But both of them have you know, they don't belong here. And you look at the female genital mutilation that they get up to in Islam. Sewing women up. They sew them up sometimes, completely. It's hideous when you think about it.
The Africans in South Africa, they also have sex with babies, don't they? Because they think it cures AIDS or something.
And that is so rife over there that they had to bring out a school play depicting it to try and get it across that was not going to cure you of AIDS. Not that, you know, that was going to be harmful to a baby, but that was not going to cure you of AIDS. And they had, you know, this is kids at school acting this out in a play, because it goes on so much over there. And then we invite these people into our country, and they bring these practices with them. This female genital mutilation, it's rife in Britain. Hundreds of thousands of girls have had this done to them. They're even getting it done in Britain, and they go abroad to get it done in Africa, and then they come back. And it's got something like a 15-year prison sentence over here, and yet there's not one person that's ever been prosecuted for it. You've got Amber Rudd saying that we need to have a drive to prosecute this. We've got Dr. Bernardo's doing an advertising campaign, raising awareness of it, and they haven't, not even using a Muslim child. They've got a white girl on there for an anti-female genital mutilation campaign. And so they're putting all this money into it, to raising awareness of it, and it doesn't even belong in our country. The only reason it's here is because we've got these savages here.
Yeah, it's bad.
That's how you get rid of it. Get rid of the savages.
It's libido dominandi. E. Michael Jones was right. Not even E. Michael Jones. What was his name? Augustus. Saint Augustus of Hippo. Yeah, he was right, wasn't he? One of the great founders of the Christian church. He wrote City of God, City of Man. You can either be in the city of God and serve reason and serve God, or you can be in the city of man and serve your passions. And if you're serving your passions, then, that's it. You're the slave of your passions. And this is exactly what Michael Jones says over and over and over again, this whole sexual revolution thing. They think you know, they dress it up as freedom, right? They dress it up as freedom, but it's not. It's the freedom to be controlled by your lowest base desires. It's the freedom to be controlled by pornography and to become a porn addict. You think, oh, great, I'm free. I can have sex with whoever I want. I can sodomize women. I can become a homosexual. I can sit at home and masturbate all day long. Great, I'm free. You're not free. You're the slave of your passions. You're in the city of God, unfortunately. But I'm really in two minds, though. I mean, especially on the prostitution issue, I haven't talked about it. I haven't figured it out, and I don't know. I'm very much in the mind that I very much believe in moderation. I think, and I do feel that these things are always going to be in our society, and if you try to repress them completely, you're going to push them into the hands of the underclass. And if you just have them, you know, make them allowed, and then you can keep them out in the open, and then they can be controlled. So I don't know. I mean, I'm very much in two minds of it. I mean, I know that the Victorians had prostitution, and it was legal, and they were doing okay. So I don't know. Seems like a good safety valve to me.
What's the Indian way of dealing with it? Don't they have prostitutes that are supposedly married to the goddess or something, you know, similar to these temple prostitutes from the Middle East that I was on about? Do you know about them?
Well, you know, in India there are many different sects and cults. I mean, I did see a documentary once, and that I think there was a prostitute. And she did worship some particular goddess, which was the goddess of prostitutes. I mean, it's certainly nothing to do with, you know, mainstream Vaishnavism, or it's nothing to do with the kind of thing I'm into. But
it's not an authentic. Yeah, it's not the Indian state's way of dealing with the problem. Then,
As far as I understand, prostitution's legal in India, I think. Yeah. But I don't think they dress it up in a Hindu way at all. So, no, I don't really know. But, it's a safety valve. I mean, that's just the way I see it. It's a safety valve. You know, you've got some women and they just... But this is the thing, because it's a slippery slope, right? Because if you have prostitutes, then I suppose automatically you're going to... Well, first of all, that kind of means pornography should be legal, right? Because... prostitution and pornography, same kind of thing. And also you're getting into the question of abortion, because if you got whores, then obviously you're going to want them to be on, you know, you don't want them to get pregnant. And if they do get pregnant, then you don't want a bunch of bastard children running around the place. So then you're getting into the subject matter of killing babies. So it is a very, you know, kind of messy, entangled subject, but,
If every man had a wife, though, if every man had a wife, then why would there be a need for them? Especially if the wife was taught how to look after a man and look after her husband from an early age, and expected to get married and look after her husband. And obviously you there's a marriage contract, which is basically consenting to have sex whenever the other partner wants it. I mean, that's basically what the marriage vows are. That's why they always were. That's why it was impossible for there to be claims of rape in a marriage, because the woman had given her consent in that contract, and then she relied on the man not to want to have sex if she really didn't want to, basically. But you know, if you had that, and the women looked after their men when the man wanted it, then the man's not going to wander. He's not going to want to go and see prostitutes. There isn't going to be any need for prostitutes. If you had everyone paired up, which is essentially what you had when you had arranged marriage, is this would all be arranged out for you from an early age, and the person would be picked, and their horoscope would be right, everything would be measured up, they'd be of the same caste, your parents would pick your partner for you from judging what the parents of that it would be a child at the time, but obviously the marriage wouldn't occur for, you know, another decade or whatever, but they would look at the parents and pick the right one for you, and you would expect to be with that person with that partner for the rest of your life. You would grow to love them. The girl would be told that this Prince Charming would be coming for her and she'd be looking forward to her marriage day all her life. And I don't think there would be a need for prostitutes then, would there? Or would there not? What's wrong with my logic and reasoning there, Brutus? Anything?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think maybe you're underestimating how bad people are, basically. I just think there's always going to be that that class of man and that class of woman who wants to do stuff like that, basically. And, yeah. And
well, I guess.
Either you have it out in the open or you push it into the hands of the criminal class. I mean, the same could be said of gambling, for example. Is gambling a good idea? No, probably not. You can lose a lot of money. It's a big problem. But do you want to make it illegal? Well, if you make it illegal, again, you push it into the hands of the criminal class. The same with intoxication. Excuse me. If you ban alcohol, you're going to get Al Capone is the answer. So the same with usury, right? You ban lending money, or you're too restrictive on what people can do with money, then you're going to push it into the hands of the Jews. The same with, lots of things that, that's all the human vices, basically. I'm kind of more of a moderate in this opinion, but my mind is not totally made up on this. I'm swaying back and forth. E. Michael Jones, he gives a good argument. I do understand his argument. I mean, on the pornography issue, like you say, I can't see how pornography would be a problem if everybody's married, right? Because you've got to marry. You're married, you just screw your wife. I mean, you're not going to spend so much time jacking off the pornography. So on the pornography issue, I think the real issue is the fact that people aren't married, not the fact that the internet's flooded with free porn. Well, yeah, I don't know, Sven.
I think it comes down to the same argument as to why we can't have anarchy, why we've got to have laws and why we've got to have a state. Because if you don't have one, then obviously the biggest, baddest, most dangerous person is going to take over. So you need to be defended from them. And you need to have the forces of law and order, because if you don't have them, you're always going to get the bad types that will then take advantage of that. So, we could, in a perfect world, then yeah, we wouldn't need prostitution, but we don't live in a perfect world. We live in a corrupted world, a world that's continually getting worse. But at least we know what the ideal is. And this is the other problem that I have, is we can't go backwards in time. We know how things should be, but we can't actually go back to that time. All we can do, we're on a progression. We go forward in time. We can't go backwards. Adolf Hitler was the man against time, and that's what it meant, because he was trying to hold back time, as it were, so that it didn't progress and it didn't get worse. So what I think we've got to do is look forward and not make the same mistakes again. Obviously, we can't make exactly the same mistakes again, but we can realize that these were mistakes, allowing no-fault divorce, allowing women into the same positions as men, allowing equality, allowing free sex. And what we have to do is prevent things from going any further, which is what we try to do now by speaking out against the transvesticism and this legalization of pedophilia and all the other even more degenerate things that I'm sure we've got that are coming down the road. I mean, they've got brothels with animals in Germany. Things like this, we've got to stop. But at the same time, we've got to remember what that ideal was and how we got to this stage that we're at today, and make sure that it informs us on our decisions and our views for the future. Because it all starts with something that's pretty innocuous, and then it ends up with something absolutely terrible. It's like a snowball picking up weight. I mean, when they started just saying, well, women should be treated the same as men, they should have the same legal rights as men, it all sounds very innocuous sounding. But then it ends up with people like Amber Rudd and Angela Merkel and Theresa May and doing all the hideous things that they're doing. And it ends up with men being completely demonized. So what we've got to do is try and spot these things that sound innocuous and sound pretty harmless. But because they break with tradition, you know for certain that it's going to cause a hell of a lot of harm further down the road. I think that's the way to look at it. Anything that breaks with tradition is not going to be doing us any good.
Yeah. I mean, just on the issue of prostitution again, it's one other point I wanted to make was that, like I said, one of the great issues of the day is incel rage and the fact that men can't find wives, they can't find girlfriends, they're very frustrated sexually. And so I don't really think we should be engaged in man shaming men, for having sex with prostitutes, basically, or for going to Russia or I think there's a lot of prostitutes in Poland, apparently, or going wherever, going on your sex holiday and banging some whore, a couple of times a year. I mean, I don't think we should I don't think the alt-right should be in the position of giving men a hard time for just trying to get laid because, the young men of millennial generation are not getting laid. And so I don't think we should be this incredibly puritanical movement, which is just bashing people on the head saying, no prostitution or no gambling or no drinking or purity, 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 because purity is not really very attractive. I mean, a movement based on purity, I guess like the Wahhabis, that's a very puritanical movement. It can work if you have a religious fundamentalism behind it, but we don't have that behind our philosophy. We just have this kind of an attitude of, can you just stop genociding us and can you stop it with the anti-white racism, please? Thank you very much. And I just think as a movement, we have to judge the nature of the people of this age. We live in a slutty age and we have to offer people something which is good, which they want. And like I said, I think we should be offering men a sexual utopia. I mean, you can have your wife and you can have prostitution at the same time. I mean, it sounds great to me.
But you wouldn't want the prostitution if you had a good wife. This is the point. But just to go back to what you were saying there, I mean, that there is a school of thought that says that, what is the difference between paying a prostitute and going out dating and paying for somebody's meals and chatting them up and all the rest of it, and then you end up in bed with them? Paying the prostitute is just cutting out all that time that you could look at as being wasted. There is a school of thought that says that, and that's basically what's happened by bringing feminism in and allowing no-fault divorce and allowing that to happen, where people can sleep about. It's basically turned all women into prostitutes. And the ones that just take the money straight away, they're just taking the time out of it, basically. And the people that are dating one another for a couple of weeks, it's exactly the same thing, really. And there is a school of thought that says that. I'm not saying that's right, but there's a certain element of truth to it.
I think, personally, the prostitute's better in that situation because she's just more honest. It's like, you want to have sex? Great. Pay her the money. Boom, boom. Job done, right? The girlfriend, you got to go through so much flipping emotional bullshit. It's just like, oh God, it's like, it's more of a crooked kind of twisted way of getting sex. So, I don't know. I mean, I go on feeling, to be honest with you. And, I've had sex with prostitutes and I never felt bad about it afterwards. I never felt bad. I mean, if I was to steal something, not that I ever have stolen something, but I just wouldn't physically be able to do it because I would feel really bad. You know, when you do something bad, you feel bad afterwards. Maybe you open your big mouth and you say something or you do something, and afterwards you think, I really shouldn't have done that. And you feel it in your heart. You have a bad feeling. Like, I never felt that way after having sex with a prostitute. It was always just like, I always kind of look to them and I think she's like a nurse. You just pay the money and she just squeezes your semen out. It's just not a big deal. So from that kind of gut, and I could say the same thing about gambling and I could say the same thing about drinking. They're all human vices. They're not good. They're not something to be proud of. But it's not really something to feel very bad about either. It's not like stealing or murder or, these crimes, if you know what I mean. They're vices. They're not crimes, in my opinion. So I would rather live in a society. I mean, going back to the example of India, it's kind of like in India, they have prostitution is legal, marijuana is legal, but there's a social framework where these things are frowned upon, and it's you know, people know it's not good, right? So people, they do these things sometimes. Sometimes they smoke weed. Sometimes they go to a whore. But they're not like running around in the streets like feminists are today saying, yay, sluts, you know, look at me. I'm a liberated slut, something. It's just kind of understood that it's a vice and it's there and it's part of human nature. And it's something that people do sometimes and it's bad. And it just comes down again to two ways of controlling your population. You can either control people with laws, create a strict totalitarian state, which just stops everybody from doing anything, or you can control people with a morality, basically with a religious or social morality, which says, look, this is right, this is wrong. If you have a strong level of morality in your society, if people know that prostitution is a bad thing, gambling is a bad thing, drinking is a bad thing, then people, even though these things are legal, they'll stay away from them, you see? So that's the way I see things. I would like to see a society that's controlled by morality, a society which you know, the vices are legal, but it's understood that they're bad, you know, and it's understood that the vices are bad and traditional life is good. And what we have today is the total opposite. Now we have the vices are promoted as good, right? We have like crazy women all over the newspapers and the magazines and on the TV running around the place having sex with God knows who. And it's like, I'm free. You know, that's the wrong way around. Instead, you should have a culture which promotes chastity, but at the same time recognizes that, you know, there are these vices and this is what people do. And we're just something we have to tolerate.
Well, we've got the liberated sluts, and we got the slut walk, and they basically turned all modern day women into prostitutes. And then when the men then try to initiate something with them, then they get told that they're perverts and they're wrong for doing this. And yet it was the women that wanted to turn themselves, make themselves looked at in that way. And then they complain when the politicians and rich people and film directors then proposition them. They can't have it. They can't have it both ways. And I mean, I know we have said before that it's our fault for letting it happen in the first place. It is our fault for letting it happen in the first place. But until, you know, I see the women today turning their back on feminism, then, you know, they can't really complain that politicians touch their knee or film directors proposition them. And what you were talking about there about is your conscience, isn't it? You know, you're feeling pangs of your conscience when you do wrong. And, you know, it's only white people that get that. Only white people that have a conscience. There was no system of law that was developed in Africa. Negroes never developed a system of law. And it's only white people that blush. It's only white people that blush with shame when we do something wrong. And I think what you're talking there about sleeping with prostitutes, I dare say that if somebody was married and was to be cheating on somebody, then they would have the sense of shame. But as far as sleeping with a prostitute is concerned, you know, it's the same as sleeping with somebody after having a date with them, after dating them for a couple of weeks. It's just a different mindset, and there's the amount of time that's been taken out of it, as we're discussing, because it's still sex outside of marriage. It's still, you know, you're not going to stay with that woman for the rest of their life, but it's still something natural.
There's a pretense of love, though, isn't there? It's your girlfriend. There's a pretense of emotional attachment.
Yes. There's that difference to it as well. But
with the whore, it's just like, oh, okay, take your money, boom, boom, see you later.
I'm looking at it as a purely biological thing. I mean, we haven't talked about the emotional side of it at all in this episode, have we?
Right.
That's, you know, stand guilty of that, actually, of looking at it in a very modernist, materialistic way. I mean, we haven't mentioned any of the emotional fallout from this. But yeah. I guess that should be obvious. I mean the damage that's been caused by the free sex permissive society, you know, the emotional damage that's been caused by that is what encourages people to go out and behave like this in the first place. seeking prostitutes.
Yeah. So I don't know. I just think, I think the prostitutes are just kind of more honest, you know, just like, yeah, give me the money, job done, see you later. It's just it's a business transaction. That's all it is. You don't have the tears. You don't have the drama. You don't have the, does he love me? Doesn't he love me? Oh, he's using me for sex. Oh, I only met him a week ago and he wants to get me in bed. Oh, no, it's just like you pay your money. Job done.
They're more honest than the Hollywood actresses anyway, aren't they? Certainly more honest than the Hollywood actresses.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
10 years later, complaining about what it was that actually got them the job in Hollywood in the first place. Then they would have got the job if they didn't behave like that. If they didn't allow the directors to sleep with them, they never would have got the job. It's like, okay, you were raped. Are you going to are you going to renounce being an actress? Are you going to renounce being in all those films? You're going to give all the money back? Of course they're not. It's just ways to draw attention to themselves and attack men. That's what this is all about. It's all about attacking men, basically. That's why they don't say the ethnicity of the people that have done it to them. They try and cover up the ethnicity. It's all about women are at war with men, and most men seem to have forgotten that. Our grandparents knew it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, anyway, my hope for the Weinstein scandal is that it will go in the direction of child abuse. Because that's obviously everybody knows that's the real horror that's in Hollywood. It's the pedophilia. And thankfully, Corey Feldman, which I'm sure everybody knows, he's that actor from The Goonies. He's quite famous on the internet because he did an interview, I don't know, God knows, what was it, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, where he said that pedophilia is the real big issue in Hollywood. And he said he knows who's doing it, but he can't say the names because he'll get murdered. Well, now he says he's going to come out with it. So that is a bombshell. And
well, I hope he does. I hope he does, because I've seen this Harvey Weinstein thing as covering that up. And the same with this thing in the government over here in Britain where they're talking about the bad behaviour of the politicians touching journalists on the knee. Well, that's a cover-up for pedophiles like Cyril Smith and all the other pedophiles, the Labour 25 pedophiles and the ones in the Conservative Party. Far more serious crimes than just chatting women up or putting, you know, your hand on their knee. And they've covered all that up. Cyril Smith's no longer in the news. And he was only in the news once he died anyway. What about the pedophiles that are in power at the moment? Why is nothing being said about them? So I see that as a bit of a distraction from it. But if it's inspired Corey Feldman to say that he's going to speak up and say who it was that was doing that, then that's excellent. That's really good. We're
There's also, just to drop in a story, because I didn't see anybody on the alt-right talk about it, but also there is a new TV show on Netflix. It's called Stranger Things. It's kind of like an 80s kind of horror, kind of mystery TV show. Anyway, but one of the child actors that's in that, I saw a newspaper article, he's also complaining about sexual abuse. So there's two stories for you. There's the Corey Feldman story. There's the Stranger Things story. I didn't see anybody notice the Stranger Things story. But yeah, I mean, hopefully it'll explode. I mean, we've been saying this for a long time on this show that, pedophilia and blood libel and the whole Pizzagate thing. I mean, this is dynamite. There's one thing that the Goyim don't like, and that's when you mess with their children.
Well, hopefully this will help expose it. So we're coming near the end of the podcast now. I'd like to bring up some positive news before we finish, although that is positive. If Corey Feldman's going to out these pedophiles and the other child actor you're on about, Tommy Robinson had his book launch at the weekend, and the venue was intimidated into saying they weren't going to host him. The police actually went round there and intimidated the venue, said they were going to remove their license if they allowed Tommy Robinson to have his book signing there. So he turned up in a van, gave out free books, autographed books, and well over 1,000 people turned up, far outnumbered the Antifa. And then they all went on a pub crawl in Manchester. There was no trouble. There's a huge gathering. Although Tommy Robinson isn't an ethno-nationalist, he is a civic nationalist. And this was definitely a good showing of people, and it all went well. And I hope he does that again if people ban him from venues, because it draws attention to the fact that the police are intimidating venues into not allowing us to speak there. Well, at the same time, we've got all these mosques that have all these hate preachers speaking in them. So people can see the hypocrisy of it. And the Antifa actually had the brother of that faggot that got killed by the nail bomb at the Manchester concert. I mean, this guy's got to be totally deluded. His brother's been killed by Muslims, and yet he's there speaking for the Antifa, criticising someone who's exposing the Muslims. And Toby Robinson's got a book called Why Muslims Kill or something like that. And it's basically just the Quran, but put into the correct order. So people can read it in the order that it's written in Arabic, read it the way it's supposed to be written, which makes it quite clear that it gets more and more violent as you go through the book. And it totally endorses jihad and slaying all the unbelievers. So I've got to get a copy of the book myself yet. But it's very good that this book signing went off without a hitch and we outnumbered the Antifa. Is there anything you'd like to add before we finish, Brutus?
No, I mean, that's great news. Toby Robinson is a national treasure. And, like I said, we keep saying it, but 17 million people voted for Brexit, and we need a counter-jihad political party to get those 17 million votes in about 4 years' time. And we said it before, Sven, but yeah, my opinion of the direction that British white nationalism should take is that we co-opt UKIP. We go out, we join UKIP, we co-opt it, we turn it into a counter-jihad political party, and then we start, fixing the problems in this country.
Yeah, we need to capitalize on what we can see happening, what everyone can see happening, which is the Islamic invasion and all the problems caused by Islam. That's what you're going to get people supporting. Hopefully, Emery Waters' new party will do well. Okay, thank you very much for coming on, Brutus. Thank you very much, listeners. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. Don't forget, we do have a Bitcoin wallet and we rely on your contributions, and so does Morgoth from Morgoth's Review. We'll be back next Monday with another SS Britannia for you, and we do hope you all have a wonderful week ahead of you.
For an alternative to the anti-white system on RadioArian.com.